He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. Jesus, we thank you for you're a God who never fails. You're a God who is for your people. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, God, for this community, the privilege that we have to serve in the city. We thank you, God, for the call in our lives. We thank you, God, for who you are to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, if you need more time, please do that. But we'll always appreciate if we go those cards back because it helps us to see where people are volunteering. It's always good for us to know that. I'm just going to take a bit more of our time. And then at the end, we're going to eat together and we're going to have games around. I've seen there's a pool that we're going to have. If you're not a pool table, that game, it's good. You can join in. We're going to have some card games around. You know, my brother Ricardo has some amazing card games that I've never seen in my life. So we're going to have those around to just give us more opportunity to connect. But you know, when we, last week Pastor Yami actually started this amazing sermon series titled Moved by God. Moved by God. And the bottom line for this sermon series is that we're living lives that are guided by what matters most to God. Living lives that are guided by what matters most to God. You know, when it comes to responding to God, some of us respond to God because we are looking for what God is going to do for us. Some of us respond to God because of what we're going to receive from Him. But I think the invitation is that we can respond to God because of who God is to us, because of what He could do, you know, within us. And one of the values here at Flood Church is responding to God's activity. And we chose that phrase carefully because it is very, very possible that you can want God to respond to your activity. Like, hey, I am doing this, God, come through. You know, some of us, we want God to just add on to what we're already doing. Like, come through and add on to this, God. But actually, the invitation here is that we would now pay attention to see what is God doing? Where is God working and can we follow Him there? Where is God inviting us and actually can we go there? And the reality is that when you open your eyes to see where God is working, you will see where God is working. When you're going to pay attention to God's presence in your life, you will actually experience a God who is present with you. And today I wanted us to read 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. If you can, maybe we can stand as we read this passage together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And as we are reading this passage, just hear what God is saying to you, to the kind of life that God is inviting you to. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And that's our message today. May you be seated. You know, the writer of Hebrews, invites us to make a choice. Invites us to make a choice if we're going to choose between living as though we are rejected stones or living as though we are living stones. That we got to make a choice to embrace the reality of being a rejected stone or the reality of being a living stone. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, who is Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, those of you that have believed in Jesus, those of you that have a connection with Jesus, you also are actually living stones. You are also living stones in God, and you're being built into a spiritual house. In other words, because of your connection to God, now your identity changes. Because of your connection to God, who you are actually now changes. You are now a living stone. In other words, you are no longer defined by your rejection. You're no longer defined by your rejection. The rejection you received from others, you are now defined by your connection to Jesus. You are now a living stone. You're now a living stone. Some of us might have experienced that kind of rejection that makes you feel like you can never be a living stone. But actually, your life is no longer defined by the rejection you experienced, because now you are a living stone. And the only hindrance that's going to be between you and being a living stone is how you actually see yourself, how you actually view, you know, yourself. We are in constant wrestling of how we see ourselves and how God sees us. There's always a battle in how you see yourself and how God sees us. You know, when we look at ourselves, we often tend to look at ourselves in light of what we can do or what we cannot do. But when God looks at us, he looks at us through the eyes of what he can do in us. He looks at us and sees there is a lot that I'm able to do in your life. There's a lot that I could do in your life. So in other words, God sees us through the eyes of who we are becoming, not who we were. You're no longer a rejected son. You know, you see yourself like, oh man, I cannot do this. Or maybe I'm only able to do that. But no, that's not how God sees you. That's not how God sees you. So do not be stuck in being the rejected stone. There's now a new invitation for you to live as a living stone. And some of us maybe are in a season like that, that we are actually stuck in our past. We are so stuck in our past. Maybe it could be the rejection you actually experienced, or maybe the failure you went through, or maybe the mistake that you did. But God says, you know what? You are now accepted. Do not be stuck in your past. You are now accepted. Even though at the moment you are living your life stuck in your rejection, the rejection you experienced. Maybe you were told you're not reliable. Maybe you were told you cannot amount to anything. Maybe you were told you don't have what it takes. And God says to you, actually, you don't need to have what it takes, because I have what it takes. Actually, God is saying to you, you don't need to have what it takes, because I am what it takes. I am what it takes, and all you need is me, and you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You know, for most of us, when we think about rejection, I think most of us, rejection is not the one we suffer. It's not the one that comes from outside. It's not what people actually have said, but it's actually the one that comes from within. You know, the voices, the lies you tell yourself. I cannot amount to anything. The voice of condemnation that comes, you know, from within. But when Jesus comes into the picture, he challenges you that you don't need to be lost, to be stuck in your past. The past which you cannot change at all. I don't know, some of us, it's not that everything about our past was bad, it's just a moment. you know, a moment that you had. I don't know if you've ever been stuck in a moment, like you can't shake off, in a moment of failure, in a moment of mistake that you cannot shake off, and you keep reliving that experience. That voice keeps coming to you over and over again. You're done. You're not good enough. That moment is the one that has been defining your life for a long time. But Jesus says to you, don't be lost in your past, which you can't change. Now be more captivated by the acceptance you have received in me. Be captivated by the acceptance you have received in Christ, because that's what changes your life. You're not what you did, you're what Christ has done for you. You're not what you did, you're what Christ is doing in you. You are now a living stone. You are now a living stone. And what we need to do is actually to embrace our identity in Christ, to embrace our identity in Jesus, that our identity is new. We are no longer defined by our mistakes, by our past, by our rejection, but we're defined by Jesus. And that's important. And I wanted to just mention one thing, why embracing your identity is actually important, most especially in light of what we are talking about today. It is important to embrace your identity because who you are influences how you position yourself in the world. Who you are influences how you position yourself in the world. Verse 10 says, once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Now you can read that and be like, what do you mean I was not a people? Now we need to pay attention that the writer of Hebrews is not just talking to one person. He's actually talking to a community. That's why he's using the word people. He's talking to a community. But that community without Jesus, they were once not a people. They were once not a people. They were very far from God. That's the reality. Now, the reason why they were not a people is because without Jesus, it's hard for you to embrace the purpose that God made you for. Without Jesus Christ, it's hard for you to embrace the position that God wants you to take in the world. It's so hard. It's so hard. But when you embrace your identity in Christ, you begin to embrace the purpose that God has for you. You were not a people, but now you're a people. In other words, when Jesus comes into your life, he actually helps you to embrace your full humanity. Jesus helps you to embrace your full humanity. A human being who God intended you to be. So who you are needs to influence your position in the world. But for most of us, we think that our position in the world must influence who we are. That's what we tend to think. Like we live our lives and we are like, hey, because of the position that I have in the world, then this determines who I am. It's not that you love sharing truth, but maybe you are afraid of actually losing something. You're afraid of losing your position. It's not that you're pursuing generosity because it's actually good to pursue generosity, because it's good for the world, but maybe because it makes you look good. Do not let your position, where you are, influence who you are, but let who you are influence your position in the world. And the more you embrace who God says you are, the more you embrace how God sees you, the more you take the place that God intends for you to take in the world. Because you're going to be a blessing to the world, just like Fred was calling us. Like, hey, can we love our city better? For us to do that, we need to embrace who we are. Actually, we are a blessing. We are a blessing because of Christ. And because we are a blessing because of Christ, now we're going to take our position in the world of actually being a blessing into the world. We're going to take our place in the world. So it's not your position that influences who you are. It's actually who you are that influences your position in the world. When I was in Standard 2, the last term, I failed my exam. So the norm is you have to repeat, you know, Standard 2. And I was like, come on, really? Like, I need to repeat Standard 2? And I was, you know, I was so ashamed of this. And my dad, at the same time, my dad said, oh, we have an idea. We want you to go to the home village to stay there for 1 year. I was like, yes, let's do that, because that's going to make me to move away from the school that I was at, and nobody's going to know that I needed to repeat standard A2. So I go to my home village, first term, number one. I was number one. I was like, what? This is my daughter, Tembi. I was like, what? Number one? So this is how it feels like to be number one. Term two, number one. I was killing it, guys. Term three, number one. I was like, yeah. Those guys in the city, they didn't know how smart I was. You know, but 1 year comes and then I had to come back, you know, to the city. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to leave this amazing space. So I come to the city and my dad looks at the results that I was getting. And he's like, bro, you've been killing it. Well done. We need to find you a better school than the one that you were at. I was like, yes, let's do it. So we go to a better school. Term one. Number 63. You know, number 63 is the year that my mom was born. She's actually here with us this morning. Praise God. Yeah, that's the only silver lining from that. Number 63, yo. You know, first of all, that tells you how many we were in our class. Like, I was not the last one even. But then, you know, I had let my position influence who I was. You know, in the home village, the reason why I was number one is because when we are reading books mentioning about a car and traffic lights, I had been in a car. I had seen the traffic lights, but everybody else in the classroom had never been in a car. I had never seen a traffic light. So I was the one, the king, you know, in the room, right? When they are reading Chichewa, I don't understand why we're doing Chichewa lessons in the Tumbuka community. But when they're reading Chichewa, I speak Chichewa, and I would read better than everybody else, you know, in the classroom, right? But then I come here now in a space that could really expose who I really was. I wasn't as smart as I thought I was, right? And there's sometimes you can look at your position in the world and maybe even have some success until you encounter a situation that exposes who you really are. Then you realize more, I am not what I have believed that I am. But actually, we need to let ourselves embrace who we really are in Christ and let that influence our position in the world. So he says, you are a chosen people. You've been chosen by God. You've been set apart by God. This is who you really are. And it is who you are that's going to bring impact into the world. It's not the stuff, it's not the position that you have, the stuff that you have. It's not your education. It's not your job or your business. It's who you are in God that's going to actually bring impact into the world. It's your identity in Christ that's going to change lives, that's going to bring transformation in the world. So you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. That means who we are not only just influences our position in the world, but also influences what we pursue in the world. It's going to influence what we pursue in the world. Now, what we're going to pursue, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness in his wonderful light. That because of who you are, then that's going to influence you to pursue the things that God is about. It's going to help you influence to take your position in the world, but also to pursue the reality that you are actually a royal priesthood. That God has made you for good works. That God has made you to bless your community, to bless your neighbor. That there's something else amazing that God wants to do through you and in you. So what if we were to say yes to Jesus? If we were to look where you are now, how can you let who you are influence what you're going to be doing where you are now? It could be in your business, in your house, in your workplace, in your school, where you are currently. What are you pursuing? And the things that you're pursuing, as they communicating who you really are in Christ? Is your position in the world coming or stemming out of the reality because of who you are in Christ? And the invitation for us, we need to believe what Jesus has done for us and who he is inviting us to be, and that we could take our place in the world. Can we do that? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the reality that we have a new identity, that we should never ever be defined by our past, our failures, our mistakes. But if we let anything to define us, then it's Jesus. That in Him we have a new identity. In Him we have a new identity. You could be here this morning. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, it's hard for you to embrace this message. If Jesus Christ has no say in your life, it's hard for you to embrace this message. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then your reality is you are a person who is actually without hope. You are a person who has not fully embraced who God wants them to be. And you could be joining us online, or you could be here physically. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to just consider taking a step of faith where you can cross the line of faith today. Where you can come to a place and say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to have a deeper connection with Jesus. So if you are that kind of person, I want you to just pray this simple prayer. Just pray, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you don't have any relationship with Jesus, you have never given your life to the Lord, you're not born again. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Now, if you have prayed that prayer and you're here, I want you to just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. If you have prayed that simple prayer, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to just pray for you. Praise God. And also, if you're joining us online, I want you to still raise your hand where you are. Jesus, I thank you for these friends of mine, for these men and women. I thank you, Father, for allowing them to cross the line of faith, that they can have a deeper connection with Jesus, that they can embrace a God who loves them, a God who is for them. Spirit of God, I ask, may you help them to follow Jesus. May you help them to walk in your way. May you help them to live as ones that have been chosen by God. And I pray for every single one of us that our lives will be defined by who we are in Christ and not the things that we are encountering on a daily basis. I thank you, Father. I honor you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to have prayer counselors around, even people that are wearing vests. Feel free to go to them if you want to receive any prayer. May we stand and worship God one more time before we eat together. My beloved is
is my beloved, the most beautiful among thousands.
Yeshua, yeah.
Yeshua.
power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Sing, yours
is the King.
Yours
is the power, yours is the glory.
God, you are a chosen people, a people who have not received mercy but now have received mercy. What that means is that you are celebrated by God, that God celebrates you. You know, other people show you kindness because you've been good to them. They say well done because you have done something good, but actually God celebrates you because he has done something good for you. You are celebrated by Jesus. So I want you to go out there and live your life as one who is celebrated by God, one who has received God's mercy. Because of who we are no longer going to go out there and do things because we can, but we're going to do good because we know that God can do good through us and with us and for us. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God shine his light on you. May God just smile on you. May he lift you. May he turn his face towards you. May he give you grace whenever you need it. And may he give you peace which transcends all understanding. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, praise God. So, we're going to eat together, you know, today. If you are able to get the kids out of their classes, must be the younger ones, and parents and kids, you are encouraged to bring your kids to that tent just behind us. That's where they'll get their food. And then the rest of us can go to the tent on my left, which is out there under that tree. We can go grab our food there. And then we're going to be having games around. Feel free to hang out and let's have some beautiful and great time together. God bless you.